Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be discussing their latest release, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Time to Thrive. The book shares a collection of 101 inspiring stories about growth, wisdom, and dreams. Good morning, Amy. Welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Happy spring.
It's beautiful down here in good old Dallas, Texas.
Beautiful up here in Connecticut, except I have hay fever. So every time I see those flowering trees, you know, with the blossoms blowing in the breeze, my eyes start watering just looking at them.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with me on the air this morning, and it's always a pleasure. Time to Thrive is a terrific book. When I read the stories, it's like having a personal coach motivating me to get off my chair and get going. So congratulations for this wonderful book.
Thank you. It was so much fun to review the stories in preparing for this interview. And I don't know, it might be self-serving to say this, but I was so enthusiastic and I became rather enthralled with my own book because I hadn't looked at it for a while because, you know, we sent it to the printer a few months ago and it's just come out. And I am really excited about these stories and started realizing that I should go through this whole book again because I think it will help me to make some of those little tweaks to my life that I know I should make. It's very motivational to read about what other people have done. And I mean, the idea for the book came about because we do get so many stories from people about how they have improved their lives, whether through major, major changes, you know, like changing jobs or moving across the country, or just little tweaks like starting to play the piano again because it's been bugging them that they haven't been doing that. You know, it really, it's everything from little changes to big changes. And I thought, I got to read this with summer coming. It's the perfect time to make a little tweak to my life, you know, and people love reading this kind of book because you're reading stories from 101 different people. And so there's something that's going to really resonate with you and be life-changing because it's 101 people giving you their best advice and relating their own experiences and what worked for them in finding their own time to thrive.
One of the things I enjoy about reading the book is that the authors are just terrific. They are very good at expressing themselves, and it really connects to you at the personal level. And that's why I felt like I have a personal coach with me. And Johnny, you better get off your tushy and get going.
You know, I asked Lauren Slocum Lahav to be my co-author on this book because this is her specialty. She's worked for Tony Robbins for decades, and she is a very experienced life coach, motivational speaker, and I knew she would bring the right expertise to this book, and she brought in a lot of the stories herself from people she knew who she thought had great stories to share. So that made it really exciting because she gave us access to a lot of new people who are included in this book, and they have some very powerful stories. So it was a real pleasure working with her because this is what she's been doing, I think, for something like 20 or more years.
The book allows me to look at life from a perspective of, you know, the term people coin, people watching. That's what this book does because it allows me to kind of sit back as I read the story. You are able to sort of like be that spectator looking at someone else's living their life, in this case, at different parts of the country, different times, different age, and got a lot done within themselves. To me, it's a beautiful way of looking at from a perspective of people watching.
And you know what? All of these people, even if some of them are somewhat famous now, they all started out as regular people who decided it was time for a change in their lives. Every one of them was just a regular person And now they tell you what prompted them to change their lives, what they did, how it's worked out. The book gives you a roadmap for how to do it yourself, whether you want to make a little change in your life, just a little tweak, or whether you want to make a major change in your life.
So true. Both of you wrote a wonderful introduction for the book. Please share that with us.
So it was fun. We wrote this introduction to the book, and we gave a tour of the book. We went through the different chapters, and we started out by talking about how the title, Time to Thrive, really does have a double meaning. And that was deliberate, because the stories in Chicken Soup for the Soul, Time to Thrive, have two main themes. One is you need to make time in your busy life to thrive, whether that just means putting aside an hour a day for a hobby or learning to say no when someone asks you to take on too many responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's time to make a major change in your life and, you know, pursue your passions, do something you're enthusiastic about, feel alive. Don't put off those life changes you know you should make. And so we have those big changes in the book and little changes. And as you go through the chapters, you get different perspectives. For example, in chapter one, which we called It's Time to Meet Yourself, you find people discovering themselves again. Maybe they weren't paying enough attention to their own needs. For example, you'll read about a woman named Sheila Wasserman who decided that she needed to take a break from family obligations and see if there's any me left in me, and I'm quoting her. And so she got a camper and embarked on a 16,000-mile road trip from Florida to Alaska and back all by herself. That's what she needed to do to rediscover herself. Mm-hmm. And then in Chapter 2, we do more about self-discovery, and Chapter 2 is called It's Time to Embrace Adventure, and we read about people trying completely new things, even people who were very risk-averse. People trying a completely different second career, people moving. And in the second career category, we have this really cool guy. His name is Benny Wasserman, and he was discovered by one of those look-alike talent agencies. He looks exactly like Albert Einstein. If you Google the name Benny Wasserman, you'll see him. He looks like Albert Einstein. And so for the past 25 years, he's been making a retirement income as Albert Einstein. And then in Chapter 3, we talk about people abandoning whatever they were doing and thriving on their own paths. And a good example is Jennifer Simonetti Bryan, who I met when she was giving a wine course at something at a conference I was at. She quit a six-figure Wall Street job because it just wasn't doing it for her. And she became one of only four female masters of wine in the United States. And she loves her new job, being a master of wine. And by the way, she makes more money now than she did when she was on Wall Street. And then in Chapter 4, we say, make time for your most important customer. And that is yourself. You're your most important customer. And so we talked about Anne Vitale, who wrote a really great story about the power of saying no. And that is one of the most important lessons in this book. You have to learn how to say no, because then it allows you to say yes to the things that you actually want to do. And so Anne tells us how she learned how to say no and how it worked out for her. And then in Chapter 5, now that we've learned how to say no, Chapter 5 is called Say Yes to Thriving. And that's filled with stories about saying yes to all the good things in life, the things you'll have time to do once you master saying no. And we talk about a woman who one day had an epiphany. It was actually at the beginning of the summer, just like our time now. And she said, this summer, I'm going to say yes to everything. I'm going to stop saying no to things that are new and scary, but possibly exciting. So she had the summer of yes, and her life completely changed by saying yes to new experiences all summer. And, of course, when the summer was over, she didn't abandon saying yes, and now it's just become part of her life. And then in Chapter 6, which is called Help the World Thrive, we talk about people who reach out and help other people as well, like Jackie Baskow, who's actually one of Lauren Slocum Lahav's friends in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. where Lauren is. Jackie is an amazing talent agent in Las Vegas who moved to Las Vegas with nothing and has made the careers of thousands of people because she brings them in, recognizes their talent, and then mothers them and nurtures them and helps them along in their careers. So that's how she has found fulfillment and thrived in her life, by helping other people to thrive. Then, of course, part of thriving can be reinventing yourself. So Chapter 7 is about reinventing yourself. And one of the stories in there is from Kathy Caprino, who has done so many different things. She was in publishing and marketing. Then she became a marriage and family therapist. She had to go get a master's degree to do that. Then she said, well, that's not right either. And now she has a career coaching working women, helping them to stay passionate and purposeful about their own careers in life. So she's reinvented herself twice. And she's a writer for Forbes, and she actually had a very successful article on Forbes about this article, this book last week, which got a lot of pickup. And then Chapter 8 is called It's Time to Pursue Your Dreams. And there we talk about Stephen Rusiniak, who was a cop, and he had gotten a C in freshman writing class in college, and his teacher told him he could never be a writer, but he persisted. And you know what? We've published quite a few of his stories. He's actually quite a writer. And then the last chapter is Make Time for Your Relationships, because that's really one of the things that people regret later in life, is not saying no to things so they could say yes to relationships, like with their families. And we have a great story from Lisa Pollack about her family going on a very long trip to New Zealand where they did not pay attention to the clock or to the internet. They did their whole vacation without paying attention to watches, cell phones, email, anything. And they built memories that their family will have forever. So the book really gives you a lot of ideas. It's giving me a lot of ideas just talking about it all over again. I'm very excited.
Me too. I didn't realize how impactful the book is because, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like time to try. Okay, uh-huh, yeah. And then when you start reading, it really engages you, the journey that each of these authors went through in their life to get where they're at today. They're wonderful stories about, well, let's just get going. And in some aspects, like, we don't exactly know what the future looks like, but just as long as you keep going, the pot of gold will be right there. And that's what's exciting about it.
Yeah, it's one of the powerful things about our format. I mean, when you're reading a book that's just written by one person, it doesn't carry you along. Where you're reading one story, you know, 101 stories by 101 different people, it's like eating potato chips. You just can't stop. You know, because each person is giving you their best possible nugget, right?
Right.
And then you read that one, you're like, okay, now I want to see what the next person did. And now I want to see what the next person did. And you can't stop because it's so fascinating, because each story gives you the best possible nuggets from what that person did to change their life, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I love about it. And boy, was it hard to pick the 101 stories, because we had literally thousands of stories submitted for this book. But we wanted to give people a tremendous variety of experiences with the 101 stories that we chose.
It's fascinating. It's wonderful. What grabs me is this, the picture of the owl on the front cover.
I love putting animals on the covers of our books, because if I put people, then you say, oh, that person doesn't look like me. I don't relate to that image.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Everybody likes animals. And what I loved about this little owl is that owls are symbols of wisdom and, you know, transition and intelligence and protection and secrets. I mean, in every culture, owls stand for those things. And here we have this adorable little owl on the cover who just looks like he's ready to grow bigger and even wiser. And he's like our mascot for a book that is all about personal growth and wisdom and dreams. And then inside the book, before every chapter, I have a picture of the owl, a grown-up owl, soaring. And so I think it's very good symbolism and very empowering to see this little cute owl and then see him soaring inside the book.
The message the owl brings to the book is fascinating because it just draws someone's attention to find out, like you were talking about. To me, it's that subtlety, the message that's behind the message in many ways. I really like that very much. So the cover wonderfully grabs you, for sure.
Well, we try to have a sense of humor at Chicken Soup for the Soul and not take ourselves too seriously and not depict this as a book that's some kind of serious reading. This book is highly entertaining reading. So it's such a pain-free way to remind yourself of whatever change you want to make in your life. Even if you are very happy, as I am, there's always some little something you could do to tweak your life and be even happier and more productive and more empowered and, you know, have a little more time for yourself. We definitely are trying to entertain people with these books, even as we are delivering some powerful messages.
So true. Please tell us about your very interesting and wonderful story in the book.
I wrote my story about carving out work-life balance because I work so hard as publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul because I'm also the author. I'm the editor-in-chief of all the books. I also help run the whole company with my husband. So I'm not only running the book business, but I'm helping run our entertainment business and our pet food business and our food for people business and everything else that we do. And so it's just all consuming. And so when you're doing that, you really have to carve out some balance, right? And so I talk in my story about how I do that. And first of all, I do point out that even though I do have this crazy schedule, I'm doing stuff that I'm happy to be doing. There's a saying that I heard, and I don't know where I heard it, but it says that in order to be happy, you should do what you loved to do when you were 10 years old. So when I was 10 years old, I loved to walk in the woods. I loved to read books, and I used to write stories just for fun. Like, I didn't think it was bad when the teacher would assign us to write something because I was doing it anyway. And now I have a job where I get to read and write every day, and I go for long walks in this nature preserve that's near my house, and I still squeeze in time every evening, even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes, to read a book that I did not have to edit. So I'm doing what I loved when I was 10, but it is still unbelievable. I mean, it's 7 days a week. It's starting at 7 in the morning and ending at 10 at night. So how do I create the work-life balance? And besides that, I work with my husband. So how do we create a work-life balance? So I talk about some of the things that we do. And one of the things that we do is we have certain traditions. For example, we have something we call Sinful Sunday. Because I primarily eat a vegetarian diet, and so my husband is forced to eat a primarily vegetarian diet, and I just do this for cholesterol reasons because my parents have high cholesterol. But every Sunday we have a real breakfast with eggs, and my husband gets to eat like turkey sausages and because he doesn't get regular sausages anymore. But, you know, we have our tradition of Sinful Sunday, and then we have a tradition that every November we go on a really good trip for a wedding anniversary, no exceptions. It doesn't matter what's going on in business. We are going on that trip no matter what. And then I have to read every night before I go to sleep. And so and there's some other stuff in my story also, but it's all about making sure that we have work-life balance so that we can actually enjoy our jobs and not resent our jobs for what they're taking from us in terms of personal time.
It's wonderful. It reminds me of what I conclude as a career is a hobby that you do and you get paid for it. You just get motivated.
Yes, we all want that. Yeah, and you know, the point of this book is that let's say you can't do that. Let's say you can't give up the job that you don't like that much. Because you really don't have another way of supporting yourself in doing something that you love. Well, then go to your job every day, but put a little box around it, and that's your job, and then do something you love in the morning before you go to work or in the evening after work. Go and take a dance class or resume playing the piano or make sure you take a walk every morning with your spouse before you go to work or whatever it is, even if it's a 30-minute thing that you do, so that you have something you're doing that you're passionate about, even if the work itself, you just stick in a box of, well, that's what I'm just going to do for 8 hours every day. But you got to have something for yourself in every day.
Right. So true. Lauren Socom has a wonderful story in the book as well. Please share that with us.
So Lauren is a really, really good person, and she spent most of her life saying yes, yes, yes to everybody. And she says her father was that way. He was an optometrist, and if he was home and he wasn't, you know, his office was closed and a patient called, he'd go back down to the office, open it up, take care of that patient. And she said when he died, she realized he had been sick for 15 years and he had never really told anybody. He just pretended everything was fine because all he wanted to do was say yes, yes, yes to everyone else and never to himself. And then Lauren says that as an adult, she followed that model she had learned from her dad, and she always wanted to be a pleaser and make people happy. And then one day, she had an epiphany. She had just gone through a divorce. Her kid's father had moved to California from Las Vegas, where they lived. She was driving her kids to three different schools every day. Sometimes she ran out of money before the end of the month. She was really stretched thin. And one of her friends called her and started saying, can you help me with this and that and blah, blah, blah. And Lauren all of a sudden surprised herself and said, no, I'm sorry, but I have to say no. I need to focus on my kids and my work. Mm-hmm. And that changed everything for her. She says, I felt the sense of power like never before. Mm-hmm. And now she says, I make sure to take care of the relationships that matter to me. And that means keeping myself in top form. And she's learned how to say no, so she can say yes to the people that matter, like her kids and her new husband. And she concludes her story by saying, it's like what they say on the airplane, put your oxygen mask on first. You can't give what you don't have. So I thought that was a wonderful message for our book.
It's a wonderful story. You're right, because there are a whole bunch of us out there, not necessarily eager to please others, but who just can't say no, just say yes all the time, and then it's at our own expense most of the time.
Yeah. I know mothers who say yes all the time to mm-hmm. other people, and then they actually don't spend enough time with their own kids.
Right.
You know, they're so busy going and doing volunteer work for this or that organization that they're not home with their own kids, helping their own kids with their homework every night or whatever their kids need from them. You have to say yes first to the people who matter to you, starting with yourself. That's your first customer, and then going to your immediate family, and then your extended family, and friends who you put in that category. But you have to learn how to say no to the outside world so you can say yes to the relationships that really matter to you. People will understand. They really will. People, there are other people out there who do say no. So when you say no for the first time, people aren't going to be that surprised because, believe it or not, other people are already saying no. You just have to join the club. Join the club of saying no.
Right, right. What would you like for the readers to gain from the various stories?
I would love people to walk away feeling empowered, feeling that they can take back control of their lives, and with a little plan, like, all right, I'm going to go and do that thing I've been meaning to do. Or I'm going to look into moving across the country because I've been dying to do that for 10 years. Whatever has been bugging you, whatever you've been thinking about, whether it was something really little or whether it was something really big, I'd love you to walk away from reading these stories saying, I can do that. I'm going to go do that now. Because these stories show you how all of these regular people made these huge changes in their lives and how great it was for them. And you have the roadmap laid out for you in these stories. So I can't imagine somebody would read this book and not walk away with a solid, doable change that they can make in their lives.
So true. Well, let's go into the various stories. As usual, I've selected several stories from the book as talking points for this morning. Please give us a quick rundown of these wonderful stories. We'll start out with the first chapter, It's Time to Meet Yourself. And I love this story, Coffee Break by Lucy LeMay Salucci.
So Lucy was a dance instructor, so of course you loved it. Since that's one of your other careers.
Yeah.
And she just, I don't know, she just wasn't taking care of herself. She was really overstretched. And she just decided to chuck it. And she went and became a barista at Starbucks. And she loved it because for 2 years, she had a job that where she didn't have to do any planning prior to showing up for work. She had no phone calls to make, no emails to send. She wasn't responsible for anything outside of showing up, doing her shifts, and being good to her customers. And she loved it, and she met new people, and it was just like a sabbatical for her. And then what happened was that a certain professional dancer used to show up at the Starbucks and kept talking to her about maybe returning to dance. And she finally did return to dance, but reinvigorated and with a new approach where she wasn't going to let the job get out of control and take over her whole life.
It's a beautiful story because she just needs a quick personal time out to kind
she
of
did.
Refocus. Mm-hmm. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she did. I thought it was really nice, and it shows that you shouldn't be afraid to do something like that. I mean, that was a pretty daring thing that she did, giving up being a dance instructor, which was her career, and working at Starbucks for 2 years. But she ended up going back to her career and really in much better shape than when she left it.
Right. And also what I like about it is that the opportunity for her to really meet the different people that she was exposed to being behind the counter. We don't realize that sometimes. When you're behind the counter working in places like Starbucks or elsewhere, no telling on the kind of people that you're running into every day. It just enriches your circle of exposure.
And you do see the same people over and over. I know at our local Starbucks, they're very friendly and they get to know us. And then she said also she got to hang out with her coworkers who were mostly younger than her. And that was a real eye-opener for her and how they welcomed her even though she was 20 years older than they were. So that was nice also. She had it was like a two-year vacation where she got paid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true. The next story is in the same chapter, The Tango of Life by Kay Campbell.
So this is a good example of somebody doing something small that ended up being life-changing, because we don't all have to make major changes to feel reinvigorated in our lives. So Kay was approaching her 50th birthday, and she had always dreamed of learning the tango. So she said, you know what, I'm turning 50, I'm going to go and sign up for a tango class. And she was really nervous about it, but she did it anyway. And we have that a lot in this book, a lot of people talking about something they were nervous about doing, but they forced themselves to do it, and they're so glad that they did. And it kind of opened the door for them doing all the other things they'd been nervous about doing also. And so she ended up loving the class. Everybody was very welcoming, and it really changed her life. And she, at the end of the story, says, who would have thought that turning my someday dream into my now-is-the-time reality would dramatically change my life? But she said taking that one tiny step of faith, you know, doing that thing she was afraid of, introduced her to new friends, and it also enriched her life with this new hobby that keeps her in shape. And she also says that learning how to do the tango taught her a lot of life lessons about letting someone else be the lead once in a while, right? Relinquishing the authority and accepting someone else's lead, accepting someone else's help, learning to go slow, learning to take small steps, practicing a lot, learning to partner with somebody because it takes two to tango, right?
That's
and
right.
And so, right, she learned a lot of life lessons from this. So I'm smiling just thinking about how summoning up her courage and signing up for this tango class changed her entire life. It's really inspiring for the rest of us when you see what one little thing can do, what one little tweak to your life can do to change the path of the rest of your life.
What's interesting about this story is the fact that she learned so much about living outside the studio. One would think, well, I'm here to learn how to dance, but yet the principles of dancing applies into real life situation the art of following, the art of leading, and one has to learn how to follow before one can lead. So these are the things that she's able to apply. You're learning about life in such a wonderful way that enriches her from a totally different perspective.
Yeah, my husband wishes I would learn how to follow. Because whenever we try to dance together, he says, "You realize you're trying to lead." And I say, "I am." I try so hard to follow him. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult for me. He would probably like me to sign up for a dance class and learn to follow.
The word that they use in dancing is very interesting. It's like, don't anticipate. I use the word anticipate as in, if you are really anticipating, then you should be there quietly and trying to make sure that you're following, right? Versus guessing where the lead is coming from. So that's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
In the next chapter, it's Time to Embrace Adventure, Taking Flight by Marsha Warren Mitten.
This was such a great story, and this woman has been getting so much publicity for her story. I keep seeing her show up on my Google alerts because everyone loves the story of this young widow who decided to leave New York, where she had always lived, and her relatives were aghast that she would leave New York, and she decided that she was just going to go and find a new place to live, a place that really just spoke to her. So she spent 3 years traveling around the country, and she ended up in Spearfish, South Dakota, which is just in the middle of nowhere. And mm-hmm. she loves it. She absolutely loves it. She's lived there 16 years. All the relatives who had bets on how long it would take her to return to New York, they've all lost their bets. She says she's never looked back. And I thought, what a great story about somebody making a major life change. So that's why I put her story first in our mm-hmm. chapter called It's Time to Embrace Adventure.
It's a beautiful story. What connected me to that story is the fact that when I had to make a decision to move from Baton Rouge to Dallas, it's not as dramatic as what she went through, but it was such a challenge for me because I was in Baton Rouge. That's where I started out when I first came to the United States to go to college. And then I worked in Baton Rouge for 18 years. And all of a sudden right now, like, oh my gosh, I'm leaving a place of comfort. But at the same time, it was a wonderful adventure. So that's why I chose that story.
That makes sense. And the thing is that you moved alone and mm-hmm. she moved alone. And there's a big difference moving with somebody versus moving alone.
Right, right. The next chapter is Thrive on Your Own Path. And this is a wonderful story as well. A Magical Life of Possibilities by Mitra Ray.
Mitra Ray is very, very cool. And her story came to us through Lauren, you know, my co-author.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Mitra was an immigrant from India. She excelled in school, but she came from a traditional Bengali family, and her parents still arranged a marriage for her, which she dutifully did, but then she was very unhappy with it. And she did everything her parents wanted. She graduated from Stanford. She got her PhD. She married the guy they told her to marry. But she wasn't happy. She wasn't happy pursuing this seemingly successful career with the husband they picked out for her. And so she ended up doing something that was absolutely shocking for a Bengali immigrant. She got divorced. She gave up that career. She started a new business, she married a new guy, and she is so happy now with her own successful wellness business, her real soulmate. They have two kids together. And so she really checked everything that was expected of her, and eventually her parents came around. But it took a lot of courage for her to make those major changes in her life. So I think hers is a great example for people who are looking to make major changes in their lives.
Her story is important to me because what I relate to is the fact that she followed her heart, especially for an immigrant. I mean, I know exactly what she's talking about. You have your parents plan out everything for you. They see you in your career long before you could even learn how to speak, much less to say when you're grown up. And here, where she finally was able to just go with her inner thoughts, her inner feelings, her heart, and made something very special out of everything. When I read her story, I could relate to the conversations I had with my mom. For a very long time, she had always kind of put a little bug in my ear. Maybe you could move closer to home, like Singapore or like Australia, where I don't have to fly halfway around the world to see you. I've managed to win her over in the sense of, you know, like, wait a minute now, I'm following my heart. This is what I like to do, and this is where I want to spend pretty much the rest of my life. So that's just a wonderful story for me.
I can see that. And mothers do want their kids to live closer. And as a mother who has three of the four kids not living close, I totally get that.
Oh, no. The next chapter, make time for your most important customer. And this is a wonderful story, My Mondays by Rebecca Hill.
Yeah, Rebecca is one of our regular writers, and we love her. When I go out to California, I always try to see her in L.A. And she works 6 days a week. Tuesday through Saturday, she works. She has two different jobs, and they're both very customer service oriented. And then Sunday, she devotes to her husband, who's a wonderful guy. And then Monday is her day, because her husband is back at his work. Mm-hmm. And Monday is her true day off, where she doesn't owe anybody anything. And she calls Mondays my days. And on Mondays, she can stay in her pajamas all day. She can go to a museum. She can go for a walk. She can read a book. She can go out for lunch by herself, or she can meet a friend for lunch. She can do anything she wants. But Mondays are sacred to her. That's her day. And I thought, unfortunately, I can't do that with this job that I have. But a lot of people probably could carve out one day that is absolutely their day. And all week long, as she's doing for others, she knows that that Monday is coming for her. And I thought that was a great lesson, and I hope that we have a lot of readers who can adopt that kind of thing. I'm jealous, and maybe at one point in my life, I'll be able to make Mondays my days as well.
Yeah. It's a wonderful story from the perspective of, well, you need to have time to recharge yourself. It's like a battery, and if you don't have that time, then you just run down. You cannot give, and it comes back to what you were talking about in the very beginning of the show, in the sense that you cannot really help others without helping yourself first.
That's true, and the next story actually covers that exact same point.
Yeah.
The story that I know that you loved, called Sparked by Stephanie Jackson, because she says that exact same thing. She was married. She was the mother of a 4-year-old daughter. She owned her own successful clothing store. But she says she was just running ragged. She wasn't happy. She wasn't joyful. She just felt like she was surviving every day. Nothing really excited her anymore. And so she looked successful on the outside, but she wasn't. She really wasn't happy, and it wasn't doing her family any good. She was going to end up getting divorced if she kept going like that. And so she went to one of these 7-day motivational events, you know, with a life coach leading the event. And she really learned a lot from it. She realized that she had to start taking care of herself first, and she had to eat well, and she had to drink enough water, and she had to get exercise, and she had to do things that she loved, and she had to, like, actually practice gratefulness. She had to make a gratitude journal. And by doing all of that, she basically reconnected with herself and her family. And her life is so much better now that she has refocused on doing what's right. And it all started with taking care of herself. That's the key. That's why we have that other chapter about how you are your most important customer.
Right. I love the quote that you guys always use at the very top of each story. All the quotes are perfect, but this one is just wonderful. Happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. It's from the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it.
Yeah, that was a good one. If you just went through this book and read all the quotes, it would probably be life-changing because they're so good.
I know. It was like, okay, that's it. I'm ready to go. The next chapter is Help the World Thrive, From Living on Change to Changing the World by Mike Conrad. It's a beautiful story.
So Mike Conrad was in our office one day because he's doing something with us in our food business. Mm-hmm. And when I heard his story, I said, you have to write your story for our Time to Thrive book. Mm-hmm. Because Mike and his brother were living on welfare, using food stamps. And they decided to start a discount bulk grocery business. Because they said, if we buy groceries in bulk, like chicken in bulk, we can give it to other people like us who are struggling financially. And they now have a nationwide discount bulk grocery business where people will sign up to buy, say, huge amounts of chicken. And then they go, mm-hmm. they sign up, and this company, Zacon Big Trucks, and they go and they'll rent, say, a church parking lot on a Saturday when the parking lot would otherwise be empty. And the cars come lined up, and they give people these big orders. And people have home freezers, like those big cabinet kind of freezers in their garages, mm-hmm. and they put the bulk food in there. And so he's reaching out to all the other people like him who need to save money, who maybe are struggling. And so he turned his own struggle financially into a passion for helping other people. And at the end of his story, he says, when you want to change things, people are so quick to tell you that you can't do it. And he says, all that does is motivate me even more, because he really has changed the world for a lot of people with this mm-hmm. discount grocery business, Zacon, which is now available nationwide, and which, by the way, is selling Chicken Soup for the Soul's food.
Awesome. That's wonderful news. The story reminds me of the fact that when you start focusing on others, then that energy just returns back to you. Multifolds. And that's what the story is all about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next story that I know you love is a poem, Time to Share, by mm-hmm. Denise DeWald. But I wanted to go to the quote there because the quote illustrates exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
The quote on this story is by Steven Tyler. And it's, if you have a candle, the light won't glow any dimmer if I light yours off of mine. Which is exactly what you just said. If you help mm-hmm. other people, all it does is come back to you. You're not diminished at all by giving that help to other people.
Right.
Because if you share the light from your candle with someone else, you're not being hurt. Or if you light someone else's candle with your candle hasn't been diminished at all.
So
and Denise's true. Story is about how she realized when she was sitting around feeling sorry for herself that she could just go out and help other people. And that would actually enrich her life so much. And so her life has been changed by going out and helping other people. And that's why we have it in this chapter called Help the World Thrive, because that's how some people change their lives, by mm-hmm. volunteering, by helping other people. Their own lives are dramatically changed. In fact, we're doing a whole book on that. We have a book coming out in August that I'm editing now mm-hmm. called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Volunteering and Giving Back, which is on this topic of how people's lives are transformed when they volunteer and help others.
Right. You know, Amy, when you talk about stuff like that, what happens is that sometimes we don't have the inner strength to get ourselves out and going. But when we put our attention on others, that gets us going. And that's what this is all about right here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people even use it if there's somebody who's been being treated for, say, depression or suicidal tendencies, mm-hmm. the therapist will say, go do volunteer work. Because
yeah.
it transforms the person, because now they see the value in their lives. They see that there's a purpose for them, and they see how they're helping other people, and it gets them out of bed every morning. Mm-hmm. It really transforms them.
They're contributing to someone else's happiness.
Exactly.
Wonderful. The next chapter is It's Time to Reinvent Yourself, and this is awesome. Taking a Chance on Me by Judith Marks White.
You keep picking stories from people I actually know. Judith lives about half an hour away from our office, and so I've actually met her a couple of times. And she's a widow. And she was lonely, but she was a writer. She actually has had, you know, real novels published by real publishing houses in New York. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked her to teach English to college students. And she said, you got to be kidding. I'm a writer. I'm accustomed to quiet. I need my alone time. But her late husband had always told her that she should try teaching and that she should take risks in her life. So to honor her late husband, she said, okay, I will take a risk. And she embarked on this new side business of being a university professor teaching writing. And she says it has transformed her life, and she has grown as a person because of doing it. And so it's, you know, one of the many stories we have in the book about people doing something that was risky and being so glad that they did that thing that they were afraid to do because it has changed their lives. And it's always the first step. If you go do that one thing you're afraid to do, you'll go on and you'll do 10 things you used to be afraid of doing. So it really is transformative, taking that one first step.
So true. And what I like about that story is the fact that here she's overcoming her own fear and getting out and doing something new. But at the same time, what she does is actually making a difference in the students that she's teaching, because that
yeah.
is taking that chance to make a difference in someone else's lives.
That's right. And I'm sure she would say that no matter how much she helped her students, she was the one who was helped the most.
Right, right. And the next chapter is It's Time to Pursue Your Dreams, My Everest by Shirley Deck.
I thought this was such a cool story because Shirley was approaching age 60. She was about to become a grandmother. And she kept reading books, watching movies, looking into mountain climbing, but she never did it herself. And she was at a bookstore one day listening to a woman who had climbed K2, which mm-hmm. is quite a deadly mountain. And she says, I had never been a particularly daring person, but I had always wanted to climb a mountain. And so she went up to this woman who had climbed K2, and she said, do you think a woman my age, almost 60, could ever achieve a personal goal of actually climbing a mountain? And the woman said to her, of course you can. And so Shirley embarked on a long training program, and she was on the treadmill, she was pumping weights, she enrolled in what was called a snow school to learn how to climb a mountain using an ice axe, being part of a rope team, and then with much younger people than her, she actually did climb Mount Hood. And I thought, what an inspiring story for somebody almost 60 years old to go and climb a big mountain. You know, and it's the first mountain she's ever climbed.
It's this amazing story. It makes me feel like we still have a chance to do amazing things. I had a friend of mine a few years back had gone to, I believe it was either in China or Japan, and gone up on one of these little trips where you do climb a mountain. At the time, he's a little bit older than me, but he's still in the 50s. And he said, Johnny, I am like struggling, huffing and puffing to get up this mountain. And then I'm looking to my left and my right. We have this 70-year-old, 80-year-old Japanese men and women. Like, they're passing me like I was standing still, climbing up the mountain. And to me, the story is such a motivational story in terms of age has got nothing to do with it in terms of what you want to get accomplished in life. This is exactly the story that tells us that.
That's right.
The final chapter, what I like about this wonderful chapter is make time for your relationships. I thought it was a fitting title for the chapter for this book. And the story I picked is The Hourglass by Deidre Higgins.
This story, The Hourglass, is a great reminder of that thing we all know. We've all heard that saying, you know, nobody's going to say on their deathbed that they wish they had spent more time at work, right? They're all going to say, I wish I had spent more time with my spouse, my family, my children, whoever. And what happened to her is that her parents died within weeks of each other, and it was a total shock. And it made her realize that she had been spending too much time running around, making lists, accomplishing everything on her list. And her mother kept saying to her, sit down, Deirdre, just sit down and talk to me. Mm-hmm. And she says now, almost 6 years after her parents both died, she's haunted by those words, sit down, Deirdre. And so she's passing along a warning to the rest of us reading this book. Please don't do what I did. Please make time. She says, I regret not sitting with my mother and just watching, you know, Twilight. And I regret not asking my mother all the questions I'd been saving to ask because time is elusive. So she says her days are still hectic and she still makes lists, but now she takes time to pause, to listen to her little daughter tell her a story for the umpteenth time, or to spend time with her son when he's talking about something incredibly boring from the movie Avatar about the difference between an earthbender and a waterbender, you know? But she's realized she has to do that. She learned this lesson a little too late with her parents.
I chose that story because the fact that we take the people that are closest to us for granted. Now, not intentionally, but it's just sort of like, well, we'll catch up tomorrow. Well, tomorrow may never come.
That's true.
This is the present moment that we have to spend our time in the present moment.
Which is why we have to learn how to say no to certain things so we can say yes to the things that matter, like our relationships.
That's correct. What are some of your favorite stories?
There's a really simple story that I love called Guest Treatment. Now, this is something that every single person who's listening can implement, and that is, learn how to treat yourself as well as you would treat a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So this story by Paula Klendworth-Scorey is about how she was raised to never touch the guest soap. You know, they had the bathroom where they had the little dish with those little flower-shaped soaps. And I don't know if you've seen those, but I've seen those. They sit there forever, and they start to get dirty looking, but the family never touches them because they're for the guests. And as an adult, Paula continued in the same vein, you know, putting out the special soap for guests, the special towels, all those things. And then her brother-in-law gave her a really nice scented soap, and she wouldn't use it. She put it in a drawer and used it, you know, as a scented thing in a drawer.
Yeah.
And then finally she was diagnosed with cancer, and she said, what am I doing? She took the soap out of the drawer. She used the soap, and she said, I am never doing that again. I'm always going to give myself the same treatment that I would give a guest. And that's something we can all do starting right now, right?
Nice.
Use the guest soap. Use the nice towels. Give yourself the good stuff. Don't save it for the guests. Who's the most important person? Yourself.
That's
Start
right.
with yourself.
Do you have any advice for someone who is teetering on taking actions?
I think it helps to learn from other people's examples. And, of course, you could turn to people you know in your own life who have made changes and ask them to share their advice. Or you can pick up a book like this, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Time to Thrive, because here you have that advice that you're seeking from 101 different people, and it's entertaining and easy to read. And so you read these, and then you say, wow, I've just been changed by this reading experience, and now I know what I'm going to do. It's a very easy way to just push yourself off the edge. You know, you were trying to jump into the water from the diving board, so this will help you make that jump.
Awesome. We've talked about this quite a bit in all the various stories. How is saying no is actually a wonderful yes?
It's like you don't say no to go and do nothing. You say no to do something else. So when you say no, when somebody comes to you and they want you to bake 24 cupcakes for the third grade party tomorrow, right? Or they want you to drive them somewhere, and you would drive them if, like, they were an A person in your life, but this is not an A person in your life. Or they're asking you to do some other thing that you just really don't want to do, but you just keep saying yes to these people. If you say no to that, you will say yes to something else that's more meaningful. If you don't bake the cupcakes for the third grade party, because someone else will do it if you say no, you'll have that time back, and maybe you'll sit with your kid and you'll read a book together. And that will be a more important experience than the thing that you said no to. So saying no is really the same thing as saying yes to something that's more important.
So true. What can we expect from Chicken Soup in the coming months?
Boy, we have a lot of new books coming out that are very exciting. We are working very hard on a project that you and I have talked about a little in the past, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about more this summer. It's a project that's all about promoting tolerance in the schools and teaching people tolerance and respect and compassion to cut down on bullying and other mm-hmm. bad behavior. We are relaunching our food line with new packaging, which has been very well received by consumers. We are adding grain-free dog food to our line and grain-free cat food to our line of pet food. So we're excited about that because people have been asking us for years to give them grain-free mm-hmm. food. So now we are. We have a TV show starting on CBS October 3rd. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of amazing things going on at Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Fantastic. And as usual, we're so excited to hear your recipes for living life.
So this book has inspired me to make a list of tips, 5 ways that you can take back control of your life. So one tip would be disciplined about your me time. It's really important. Like Rebecca Hill gets herself every Monday, and I give myself 15 minutes to read a book that I didn't have to edit every night before I go to bed. Give yourself some kind of me time, even if it is only 15 minutes a day. Another tip would be don't be afraid to go against convention. Right? When that woman decided that she was going to drive from Florida to Alaska and back, a lot of people said that she was crazy. But you should be willing to flout convention and do what you know is right for yourself. Another tip is to treat yourself as well as you treat other people. Remember the woman with the guest soap?
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself your most important customer first. And then another great tip, of course, is learning how to say no. Say no. Do it today. Go say no to something because you'll immediately say yes to something else that's more important. Saying no doesn't mean you're dropping out of life. Saying no means you're embracing the ability to say yes to something else. And then finally, a great tip that I picked up from this book and from many of our books is you got to make a habit of trying new things. Got to go and do those things that you're afraid to try, that you're nervous about, that you say, well, I don't really know how to do it, or I've never done it before. Because the moment you start thinking like that, you're never going to change. Your life is basically mm-hmm. going to be stuck in a rut, and none of us are old enough to do that, right? If you're 85 years old, you should still go try something new today. So that's
true.
A very important tip, I think, is to always try those new things that you're slightly afraid of.
Fantastic. As usual, those recipes for living are just wonderful. Amy, thank you for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Johnny.
Thank you. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Marie Georgopoulos. She is an intuitive counselor, healer, and spiritual mentor. Marie will be hosting and conducting her biweekly Meditation for Moms series. She will be discussing how you can reclaim the real you with transformational meditation. Marie will also be talking about her worldwide consciousness movement, Meditation for Moms. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week.